So-called avant-garde jazz is often regarded as difficult to understand and a rejection of the jazz tradition. Our jazz critic Kevin Whitehead says it's usually deeply rooted in established practices and not so hard to appreciate once you know where it's coming from. We invited Kevin to tell us about half a dozen modern jazz mavericks he thinks are important and to point out things to listen for. We begin our series with pianist, composer, and bandleader Sun Ra. He was born Herman Blunt in Birmingham, Alabama in 1914, although later in life he claimed to have come here via the planet Saturn. In the 1950s, he put together his orchestra, which later became famous for its carnival-like stage shows with musicians in colorful costumes, playing quasi-African percussion, dancing in a conga line, chanting pro-space, anti-Earth slogans. Sun Ra recorded well over 100 albums in a bewildering array of styles.
Because the guy's name was Sun Ra, and his orchestra wore tinfoil hats and chanted about space travel, and almost every sentence he uttered was an enigma wrapped in a pun, it was hard for some folks to really listen to his music, including some who went to his gigs because of the wacky stuff. But there was always a keen musical intelligence behind it. Sometimes, trying to make sense of a puzzling artist's work, it helps to go back to their sources. Listen to the intro to a 1949 tune by the great bebop composer Tad Dameron. Like Tad Dameron, Sun Ra had a weakness for almost disembodied horn chords made up of oddly spaced notes with a heavy bottom end. Such writing made medium-sized groups like theirs sound bigger. You can really hear the Dameron connection in my favorite Sun Ra period, the mid-50s to early 60s. This is from his version of David Raxon's The Bad and the Beautiful. The New England Conservatory's Alan Chase has documented how Sun Ra wrote melodies and chord voicings to exploit the resonant overtones of various sized saxophones. He could get a sound like nobody else, as on L is the Sound of Joy from 1956, using a saxophone trio. Really separate Sun Ra's music from his cosmic mythosophy. Those eerily disembodied voicings reflect his desire to be on some better planet than this one. He wrote or covered a number of tunes about dreaming, I dream too much, daydream, dreams come true, as if he sought to escape life on Earth or dismissed it as an illusion. Sun Ra's music acquired a greater urgency in the mid-1960s. Free jazz was in the air, but the prospect of humans visiting other celestial bodies may have quickened his blood, too. He used to warn Earthlings to stay off his moon. Ra also got into the futuristic qualities of electronic keyboards, often placing them in an otherworldly context. The music had changed, but he still had a great sense of atmosphere. Thank you. Despite the echoes of free jazz, Sun Ra was a strict disciplinarian who believed in rehearsing a lot, sweating out the details of his sometimes intricate rhythms. Even so, as his reputation grew, more musicians gravitated to him, and his group eventually swelled to big band size. None of his disciples was more widely respected or stayed longer than tenor saxophonist John Gilmore. His fans included John Coltrane. Gilmore stuck around for four decades, with timeouts to play with Miles Davis, Freddie Hubbard, Art Blakey, or Paul Bley. But for Gilmore, Sun Ra had more on the ball than any of them. From the mid-1970s till Sun Ra died in 93, his big band would offset the hardcore space numbers and conducted improvisations with revivals of charts by swing band leaders like his early idol Fletcher Henderson. It's hard to imagine any modern jazz fan who can't find something to like in Sun Ra's music. Few jazz composers had a greater scope, and no quick survey can touch on all of it. It was as if one planet couldn't contain everything he could dream up.
Kevin Whitehead is a jazz critic based in Chicago. His series Avant-Garde Made Easy continues next week with the music of Lester Bowie. The series is produced by Roberta Sharaf.